As we say, very good morning to Greg Buckle. Greg, one would think that with 267 runs behind Pakistan, Steve Smith has to consider seriously a follow-on, I would have thought. I know they like to go into bat and try and get a bigger lead and then go away, but with the weather looking a little bit dodgy up there, a follow-on might be the way to go. Good morning, Greg.
Yes, it's a tricky situation, isn't it, Tony? It's something that Australia's agonised over a few times in the recent past, and you've got the workload issue and the weather issue and the pitch not looking too bad, so you really don't want to let this situation slip. But there is always that extra layer of interest, I think, and we always knew this would happen with the Sydney Test as a bit of a look ahead to India. So there's a lot of interest in various positions there, isn't there, in the bowling and batting lineups.
Well, workload, and I take your point as being valid in regards to workload, and that's something that they've put up to us for a fair bit. My understanding is the first one-day international, I think, is the 13th of January up in Brisbane. So that is, a good 7 days away. The players would have a fair rest, I would have thought. They would have got a 4 or 5 day rest after this test if they can wrap it up to look after themselves. They haven't done too much in the last two tests. Melbourne, we lost nearly a full day and the like due to rain. We've also lost a fair bit yesterday. I just think it's something you've got to try. It's a weird situation because I know other teams look at doing the follow-on. They haven't got an issue with it, but Australia have had such an issue with it. And I can't remember the year, Greg, you might be able to help me, but the year that we sent another team back in and then lost, it was around about 20 years ago off the top of my head. I can't remember it, but Australian teams have been very loath. In India, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been 01 or 04. But, it's a big issue. And we know Pat Howard's the supremo. And, he tallies up all the charts and everything. And, it is something that they will agonise over. But, as you say, you would expect Australia to win. But, for me, I'm also taking great interest in what's happening with the spinners and what's happening at number six, what's happening with the keeping role. There's a lot of interesting subplots in this test match, I think.
All right, well, let's go through some of those subplots then, and we'll start with the keeping role. We did get a caller yesterday morning who suggested that the perfect solution for Australia would be to throw Hanscom behind the stumps and then you open up another batting spot that could go to Mitch Marsh or someone of that ilk to take that number six spot position. Unfortunately for Matthew Wade, he may have forced the selector's hand at looking at that as being a viable option for India.
Yes, well, he hasn't closed the deal, has he? I think it's widely accepted that his keeping has improved, but he's not as good as neat a keeper as Peter Neville, but he is a better batsman. And unfortunately, he just hasn't he really only needed one good score, I think, in this series, and he hasn't been able to do it. And, his timing isn't good to sort of fall crook. It's, you've worked in the electronic media. I think the old joke about there's never a good time for a weather presenter, for example, to
go on holidays.
Take a holiday. but I think in the fullness of time, I think it is too risky to expose Pete Hanscom to be the full-time glove man there's nothing more challenging, I think, for a keeper than India. Saw what happened to Hads over there a few years ago, and I remember Hads made 100 in Adelaide after that Indian tour, and he was furious with the media, and he was really stinky, and he'd really copped a lot over there, and partly because he was being expected to behave like Gilly and that like a superstar, but it is very unforgiving over there. And I think given the way Peter Hanscom has batted as well, do you really want to put him under that extra pressure? And we've seen it's been an issue with AB de Villiers as well. So I think it's tempting, but I don't think it will happen. And my guess would be They will stick with Matthew Wade, but he hasn't quite closed the deal. And the other interesting thing is that there's no more Shield cricket before they'll they'll pick the squad. So,
which is an absolutely ludicrous situation. Not to have at least one game, and it should effectively be two, but it is a really weird situation that we're picking a squad to go play Test cricket in India off the back of what we're seeing, 80 or 100 Australian cricketers do in T20 over the last 4 weeks.
Well, it's almost up there with the Ashes, I think, Australia, India now, and it's just an unfortunate byproduct of the BBL getting all the peak time slots that, you know, it's going to fall this way. If we've got tours, you know, straight on the back of the summer, you're going to play half a season of Shield, and then you're going to have all the pajama stuff, as Bill O'Reilly used to call it, and then the first class starts again. And, you know, as we know in the Melbourne market, in the Victorian market, almost by the time the Shield kicks off again, it's footy season, and unless the Vics are in the final, which they often are, but, you know, the Shield really fades, doesn't it, from view in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and it does. And what it does is it really forces the pressure on the selectors, because you can't go with any form that you may have seen prior to Christmas, because that was like 6 weeks ago, so you can't worry about that at all by the time you're ready to send the team over. So you've really got to stick with the incumbents and the team that you've got, and maybe pick one or two extras that you hope might go okay, but you've got no form to work with apart from what you've seen on the test arena.
Yeah, that's right. It's their hands are tied a little bit. But I mean, if I was Matthew Wade, I'd be reasonably confident.
Oh, you would, yeah, for sure.
The other sort of intangible that I was thinking about yesterday was when they brought Matthew Wade back in, Trevor Holmes talked about, you know, we want someone with a bit of presence, a bit of body language, a bit of yap. And, you know, the team's gone better since he's been in there. And is that he's not bowling them and he's not scoring the hundreds, but has he played a little role in lifting the spirits and the team? Because, you know, a fielding team out there for 6 hours, 12 hours, they do have flat spots and they do need to be up. And, you know, the Steve Waugh era, the Ricky Ponting era, they were up. Yep. And even when things were flatlining, the team was up. And I think that's... I think that can be a factor sometimes. It's probably only a small thing in his favour, but it was something that, you know, the selectors mentioned at the time, so it is a factor.
The spinning role for India, we would assume that they'd take both these guys, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, I was over on the Sri Lankan tour, and I must say I'd never been a huge fan of Steve O'Keefe, but he did have good domestic form for a couple of years leading into that, and, you know, he didn't look overawed. He went okay, and there's so much variable bounce in Sri Lanka, which we can assume is going to be similar in India. So, you know, enormous turn type of thing isn't necessarily a big factor. Keep putting the ball in the same spot and it'll behave differently. And that natural variation can really help. So it's always good to have a left-arm finger spinner because you've got more control than wrist spin. And it's hopefully going to turn away from the right-hander, and you've got the offie coming the other side. And, of course, the elephant in the room for Victorians is where does that leave Maxi? And I think it's always been a factor that if Nathan Lyon's the number one spinner, do you want another off-break bowler in there? So we're all continuing to push Maxi's case, but... at the moment, you'd probably think Agar would be the third spinner in the squad.
All right, Greg, plenty to talk about, mate, and we'll leave it at that. But thank you for your time. Next time we have a chat, I wouldn't mind having to talk to you about the position of Hilton Cartwright as well and seeing where that may lie. But enjoy the remainder of the test, and let's hope that the Aussies can wrap it up by the end of today.
No worries. Thanks, Tony.
Good on you, mate. Greg Buckle joining us there, chatting cricket. It is.